Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is how rinky-dink it is. This is the microphone. I'll hand it to you once we start.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Chaz Smith, and I hate surfing. Somebody else who hates surfing, Kalohandino.
Kalohe, look how mad he is.
Get it right! Get it right!
And let's welcome him to the program today. Kalohe, of course you know, he needs no introduction whatsoever. The golden boy, the prodigy, the long-time championship tour competitor, the maestro and creator of 2%. Let's get into it today. Kalohe, thank you. I'm going to hand you the mic, but I'm going to ask questions first. So first question is, the El Salvador Championship Tour event is running right now. Do you miss it?
Yes and no. I think El Salvador looks pretty fun to be at. I was like, when Margaret's and Bell's were shitty, I was kind of like, oh, I don't really miss that. But it looks fun to be at. I definitely miss it for sure. Like, I think, you know, some of my like best friends in the whole world are on tour, and it just sounds like fun to be hanging with them and competing. But I haven't paid much attention to it, so maybe I don't miss it. I don't know.
I mean, are you done? You're done.
No, I definitely wouldn't say I'm done. I mean, I just turned 30, so I have.
Are you gonna make a CT push?
Dude,
again?
Shave my head, maybe get like a head tat and a shave my eyebrows. Just
yeah,
just go. Yeah, yeah. I want to make a run for sure. I mean, I tried this year, so I'm definitely. I don't want to like lie. You know, I tried. I went to Australia and lost early, but I hurt my knee now, so this year's probably like pretty hard for me to qualify, but. My goal, my whole life has been to retire at the Olympics in Los Angeles. So I could still see a pathway to that. So I'm just going to keep in the mix and see what happens.
Okay. But in the meantime.
Yeah, here you go.
You need two.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Derek keeps getting mad at me for only having one. Yeah. I don't know why I bought one. I bought one forever ago. And every time I do an interview, he says, When are you gonna get the other mic? Or he says it nicely, like, "Can you go do it?" And I haven't yet because I like this one mic.
It's raw.
It's raw. Yeah, yeah, it's a one square mic. So in the meantime, 2%. Now I have been seeing 2% pop up in my feed, and I was unclear. I knew it was a San Clemente thing. I knew you were somehow involved, but I didn't understand or know the complete 2% story. So can you walk through some 2%?
Yeah. So, I mean, it started off like, I think, I guess it kind of started back in Reckless Isolation. Like I did that movie, and then I had this little production company called Stagnant Ambition. So we did that trip, and then we did the movie tour, and it was super rad and fun. And, you know, we had the star studded list, like Griffin and his brother, Crane, me and Luke. So I just didn't want my name all over everything, cause I was like doing it all, funded it, produced it, directed it, blah, blah, blah. So I just made that Stagnant Ambition tag. And then the next year after that, I did a bunch of films, like all these little small films that did that, like have no views on YouTube, but put my heart and soul into them. Yeah. And then after that, I was like, it'd be sick to do a movie or a film of the whole town, you know, because we got a lot of good surfers at the time and still do. So I was just literally like opened the floodgates to like anyone who was from San Clemente, like could have you know, have a wave or two or a part in this movie. And we have a lot of good surfers that are like 19, 18 years old that are like really good aerialists, and they like put a bunch of time into the movie. And when that was happening, I was thinking, man, I don't really like the name Stagnant Ambition. It's kind of like, it's kind of like these foggy days we were having in June. It's kind of a downer name. And then I texted my sister and I was like, you got any names that would be cool to like blah, blah, blah. And then she sent me like 15 names, and one of them was like 2%. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, it's a number and whatever. And then, you know, it could look cool, like a logo or whatever would look cool. So I just ran with that, switched Stagnant Ambition to 2%. And, so those kids, they took it and they just went on a bunch of trips. And then while that was happening, we started our little Instagram, we changed it, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden these kids, they like, you know, they qualified and they won all these events. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And we had this pack. I fell off tour. We had this pack on the QS, and then Griffin started going for the title. And I was just like, whoa, we were like exploding all at once. So yeah. And I've always, you know, in the back of my mind, starting Stagnant Ambition and doing that, I was like, you know, I would love to do my own brand one time. Like, I think it's rad to do that. And I've always loved clothes, and I know surfing really good, and I'm super good with the kids, and I love making surf movies. I was like, it just sounds fun, like something after I'm done. So I was like, but it's kind of a bummer because I feel like if you do it when you're done, then you can't really like use yourself to like be that person. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it got started.
And so, I remember I loved your, introductory screed to the, like, basically fuck the surf industry, which it felt timely. I mean, with Authentic Brands and Blue Star, the surf, what we knew, I suppose, is the surf industry.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Becoming so detached from what, from, I don't know, core brands, right? Except for, I also thought back to your early days. Remember the first time I interviewed you? I tried to get you wasted.
No,
remember? Yeah. No, I tried to buy you a drink and you told me I'm 15. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, but like, so at that time you were riding for Target, Nike, Red Bull, of course. I mean, you were blue chip. You were Corpo Andino.
Yeah.
Has your feelings on that time changed? I mean, that was a unique time in surfing, I suppose, when there was so much external interest. But yeah, how has your perspective of that time changed? 2% in that mix, et cetera, et cetera. What are your feelings about the surf industry in general, I suppose?
Well, like, let's just go back in time. So I was a, you know, 14, 15 year old kid. And at the time the surf industry was absolutely booming. Like, you know, at that time it was like, okay, you had John Florence, who was like death metal meets Big Airs owning Pipeline at like 17, 18 years old. You had Julian Wilson, like pretty boy, polished style, like beautiful on land and every tech air perfect. Like, you had Dane Reynolds, who was like hipster indie before indie, you know, like big blown out necks, tight jeans with the leather shoes and the pictures of his girlfriend if she died on the bottom of her surfboard, of his surfboard, and then obviously doing the best surfing anyone's ever seen. So I think that surfing right then, and then obviously you had the top tier guys, Mick Fanning, Taj Burrell, Kelly, blah, 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 blah. And surfing was so cool then that I think that the corpo brands wanted to come in and get involved because it was hot, it was sexy, it was rad, it was all the rave. It was on the cutting edge of fashion. And like, you know, you saw Dane Reynolds and you're like, this is like we've never seen this. This is where it's going. So I think there's still opportunity for that in the industry, but everyone's just so blown out and vanilla and floral button-ups and just scrunchy stuff and thins. Like, it's just all so bad that I think that we're trying to go back there. And of course, I would love for Moses Hennings, who I sponsor as a 12-year-old kid, to get that opportunity that I have. Because right now, think about it. The best surfers in the world are getting $300,000. Like, you spend your whole life doing X, Y, and Z to get there, and they're getting $300,000. Like, do the best anything in the world get $300,000? Like, maybe a volleyball player or a boogie boarder or like whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty sad, and surfing's rad. So I would love for it to get there again. And I think, you know, it's got to start by nurturing the core.
Was the 12-year-old kid, he is that the one you said it's Aki and who have a baby? Who's that one?
No, it's not him. Aki and Aaron Carter.
Aki and Aaron Carter was such a good call. It really made me laugh. Okay, so moving forward then. So you have Olympic goal. 2% is on the come up, it feels like, right? Where can people find, just to plug?
2%union.com.
Okay, 2%union.com. So, but things have changed in your life since you were 15. You now have two children. I think interesting that your father, I think there's a perspective, or maybe a perspective that your father raised you to be a surfer.
Yeah.
Are you going to raise your kids to be anything? And is the way you grew up, do you look back and say, yes, I want that for my kids too. I'm going to figure out what they like to do, and then I'm going to fully King Richard here. Or no.
The way I want to raise my kids, I want them to be around the ocean, and I want them to fall in love with it naturally. I think that's the way I was raised too, early on. And I want to be able to go on vacations with my family and they could all enjoy the ocean. And then if they love it, you know, of course I know about it, obviously, but I don't know. It's like, you know, I've learned one thing about parenting is like, you say one thing and then when you have an interaction with your kid, it's completely different. So I was like, you know, before I had kids, I was like, oh, they're going to eat this and they're going to act this way and I'm going to be this way towards them. But then it's like, you know what? Like the smile you see on your kid's face when you give them a cookie, like, how are you going to take that away from them and give them a piece of broccoli and think they're going to act the same? Like, it's just not how it is. You know what I mean? So, and every kid's different. Like, we have two children, we want four. So it's kind of like, and the best analogy for it is like when you throw the rails up on the bowling alley and you just knock them side to side to side. And you're like, oh, I got seven down on that subject. Oh, I got a strike, or, oh, like I somehow didn't hit one on that one. So it's just, I feel like that's what parenting is. And overall, I just want them to know that me and my wife love them and that we're going to support them. And like, I just want them to be able to surf. That's it. So we could all just enjoy the ocean. And I think if I was going to King Richard them at all, I just want them to have good technique and look nice on the wave.
Okay.
Yeah. So that when they stand, they look nice. Yeah. Which is hard.
I wish I had a King Richard father myself.
So now, sitting at this point, are you feeling bullish about surf industry stuff going forward, or surf as a culture? Do you feel like there's a fun future here, or do you feel anger and rage about what it's become and just want to tear it all down?
No, I don't feel anger and rage. I feel like we're at a really bad spot, and people just have to like, either they have to take their search shirts off, throw them in the trash and start new. I think that the people that are kind of nitpicking online or people who are cranky, I think that those are just going to be haters always. So it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you started a orphanage in Africa, they'd be like, bap, 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 you know, it's just because everyone has an opinion now. So, you know, like we sell out shows, we sell out contests, we've done clothing, and we sold out. Like, we're just, people are loving it. So it's, I feel great about it. I think it's obviously got to grow organically, and it's got to be like, you gotta, it's hard to get it out there, you know, like, cause every little town's got its little nucleus. And it's like, right now it feels like, okay, can we back 2%? Because it's like, it's been a St. Clemente thing, but it's like, it's actually not. We sponsored this kid down in San Diego, and like, we're going to Australia to do shows and movie premieres and all that sort of stuff, and Japan and East Coast. So it's kind of like, you know, we're only, I'm 6 weeks in, but, no, I feel good. You know, the participation rate, like you said, like, is through the roof, and surfing's always going to be the best thing to do in your life. So it will be fine.
Did you feel ever that life on tour dulled your love of surfing, or did you always, I mean, was doing, how many years was it? Like, was it?
It was
12 full time on tour. Like, yeah. did that? Yeah. And through the change from ASP to WSL and all that, right? Like, how did that grind?
I don't know. You know, I feel like, yeah, for myself, like, I've always just loved surfing. Like, I spend a lot of time away from the cameras, surfing up the coast, all around the world, like, just surfing with my dad down in Baja. Like, I do a lot of stuff like that. And I just always enjoy surfing. I think riding fish, like, boards and longboards, like, it's great for your surfing. And I just always, you know, the more I think about it, I think, like, I don't really feel like you're bummed or sad after you surf, no matter how your session goes, you know. Of course, after I've lost some heats, I've been angry, which is everyone knows. But I don't ever feel like it ruined my relationship with surfing. I mean, obviously there was times where I was like really tense, and I look back and I think, oh man, I was surfing a little bit tense just because my brain was tense, because I wanted to win so bad. And I think maybe I was competing against myself, like an inner war in my head, which stopped me from doing good. But I think I did really good, so I should have enjoyed it. It's just a weird thing. Like, I don't really know what to think about. I don't really know what to think about it overall yet. And also, like, I've been a roller coaster my whole life. Like, so every point in time, if I look back in history, I feel different about it. But overall, I think it was amazing 12 years. And, you know, I try my best the whole time. And that's cool for me.
Getting back on tour, heading toward the Olympic year. For those who don't know, the Olympics in Los Angeles is 2028. And they haven't announced the surfing spot yet, but there's talk, of course, that Lowers would be in the mix for the venue, right? Hopefully not Huntington, but...
Huntington or Lowers.
Yeah. Either one. Huntington. But if you get back on, when you get back on tour, let's say, do you feel you'll have a kind of a looseness that might allow you to break through just because the stakes are, I don't know, different?
I do. I feel like... I don't know, really. I feel like when I went to Australia this year, and I might be crazy. I know I am crazy, but I might be delusional, that I feel like I was actually surfing like as good as I ever have, maybe better. And so maybe, but at the same time, it's hard because these guys are trying so hard. It has to like mean everything to you to like get back to that level or the top 10 or top 5. Like I truly believe it. You have to bleed it. You have to live it. And it just isn't like that for me anymore. Like I cherish the smile on my daughter's face way more than doing a full rotation every day or whatever, the X, Y, and Z, going to the gym and all that stuff like I used to do. So I don't know if I'll get that back there, but you know, hopefully with looseness and me learning how to try my best, but be loose, and getting back on tour, then I will have a couple more years on tour and do the Olympics and call it quits.
Last question here. So the San Clemente crew coming up, it feels like a real explosion, right? Like, I don't know that I felt that Griffin was going to actually perform. He's clearly a phenomenal surfer, yeah. But he just didn't seem from the outside necessarily to have that like kind of Mick Fanning killer instinct sort of thing.
Yeah.
So watching him come up but then Crosby and then Cole and then the talent in San Clemente seems as rich as it ever has been. Just quick, I guess, growing up in San Clemente, what does it mean to you? And what is the future of San Clemente, do you feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I think those guys that are younger than me, like especially Griffin's leading the charge, and it feels like probably not this year, but Crosby and Cole, or I mean, Cole just beat Griffin in the final belt. So they're right behind him. Like those guys could be going for the 5/world title next year, you know, or even maybe even this year if Cole wins another one in the back half or back third or whatever it is. But those guys are just, I feel like they're going to take it and run for the next decade or at least 5 to 8 more years. But then I think the younger guys than them, they feel a little bit more old school generation where they're kind of humming and hoeing. I think that they're looking at the grand scheme of things and going, okay, if I get to where Cole is, I'm going to get $150,000 a year, or I could just go have fun and try to get clips and big barrels and this and that and sleep in and have fun like a Wardo did or whatever and see what happens and then go to these premieres and party and whatever, have more the North Star be fun instead of like results and then see what happens, you know? And I don't know where it's going to go, you know, but then below that, there's a lot of jockeyer kids too, that are like looking at Cole and Griffin that are like, oh, I want to get there. Like I could do it. You know, those guys did it. They're right there. So I don't know. It's like every generation is just a little bit different, but I mean, dude, we have so many surfers, like we're stacked until like all the way down to 10-year-olds. It's crazy. So I think that, I mean, and then even you look at like an Ian Crane who chose the free surf route, and he's one of the best in the world. So, and he's from our town. So I don't know. I think it's just the world is their oyster. They could do whatever they want. And I think it's in good hands, and I don't think we're going away anytime soon.
Well, you heard it here first. Brazil is over. San Clemente, Storm, forever. Thank you so much, Kalohe Andino.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.